This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. Today, I am joined by a very incredible superwoman, Chandra, who is also one of our Clever Bunch facilitators. And Chandra is sharing about how you can get free media exposure so that you can accelerate your business. Also, she talks about the three phases when it comes to getting free publicity, and she's sharing some of the biggest mistakes people make when trying to get media exposure. Hey, Chandra, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Francisca. Thanks for having me.
I always love having you. Like, even just these few minutes of talking to you before hitting record, I'm just almost in tears, just giggling like a little girl. And I'm especially excited about this episode because this episode right now is about how to get free media exposure. And you are certainly a ninja. I was almost going to insert a little swear word that one of my friends uses, but I try not to swear on these shows. But you're just a super crazy, amazing ninja sister when it comes to getting free media exposure. So where do we start?
Yeah, well, the background that I have in working in the radio industry for 10 years sort of, I guess, gives me that insight of the media from that side. Yes. And so I really, I guess, can share that in terms of, well, how do the media respond when they receive requests, God, yes, and things like that. So I guess that's why I really love sharing some of this insight with business owners so they kind of can look at it from a different point of view as well.
I love that, because normally we interview people that are on the other side that actually are PR agencies, and they're fantastic too, but it's so great to start this month with having an insider's perspective from someone inside the media or who, yes, used to be inside the media. And of course, you're one of our amazing Clever Bunch facilitators, and yes, this is an extra bonus.
Yeah, exactly. And look, the thing is with agencies, there are some amazing and great agencies out there, and they often have, great relationships and things like that that can be of benefit. However, I don't want business owners to not be open to this and to have it a go on their own, because it's actually not as complicated or as scary as it might seem. And I really hope that after what we go through today, people will feel a little bit more confident about having a go of just putting out a media release and seeing what happens.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Let's dig in.
Yeah. So look, one of the things too about that's important for people to get their head around is that having somebody else, so having the media talk about you and potentially how good you are or the difference that you're making or however you're being referenced is way better than just you saying it in terms of a credibility. And there's a phrase that I can't even remember where I heard it, but it was like, it's far more better for you to be selling through someone than to someone.
Yes.
So having the media be talking about you, automatically it sort of warms people up and you're instantly elevated in the minds of your potential audience if you've been featured in the media some way, because rightly or wrongly, the media channels and outlets hold a certain esteem or a certain prestige in the minds of the audience that love them. So whether it's a TV show or it's a radio station or it's a magazine or whatever the media channel is, if the audience consume them and they like them, then if you're featured in their favorite publication, then instantly you sort of get to steal a little bit of the superpower that media outlet has in the mind of the audience. And so it's really an opportunity for you to leverage that to elevate your own positioning.
Yeah, it gives you authority when somebody reads about it. It's like, wow, look at these guys. They must be good.
And look, the thing is too that even if that's not enough for some people, there is a very tangible value associated to media exposure. And this is how the industry tends to value when an agency gets you exposure in a magazine or a TV show or whatever, then the way that they report back to you is often, so in print, it's called column inches, and it's linked to, well, how much would you pay, for example, to buy a half page ad? But then if you've got content that takes up half a page, then they often in print media often will times the value up to 10 times higher for the same space as what you'd have to pay to buy it. So if an ad costs you $1,000, then the same size of an article would actually be up to 10 times. That is what they'd say it's valued at. Now, this is in some respect, it's a made up amount because you're not paying that and they're not paying it. But this is just how the industry rolls. And in a radio perspective, even just getting a live read, which is where your ad gets read by the announcer rather than it being a pre-recorded thing, even that is heavily loaded in terms of what it costs you, because the value of hearing of your information being shared in a way that feels like content is instantly valued higher. Mm-hmm. So it's a definite value to business owners to be exploring it. And the other thing is that there are big mistakes that a lot of small businesses, or any businesses really, make when they try to get free publicity. And, you know, because I used to work in radio, I guess I saw that side of things. And so this is showing my age, Francisca, but back in the good old days when a fax would be sent through.
I was also in that age. I do remember sending faxes when I was probably more like a kid.
And so the fax would come through, and journos are busy, and so essentially they just glance really quickly at this media release or whatever's been sent through, and they assess very fast, is there some sort of story in this maybe? And if it doesn't get a maybe at least, then what happens pretty quickly is they just walk around the corner with that media release in their hand, and they go to their sales team and they say, hey, we've just received a media release from Sally, who's just opened a new store down the road. She might want some advertising.
Some media, yeah.
And so, you know, I shared this story often when I'm with our Clever Bunch program, and, you know, so shared this story, and Claire, who's actually based in Brisbane, she was like, yep, okay. And she was already signed up working with an agency, hadn't had a lot of success, but she went back to them and you know, gave them some feedback on some of the stories that they were putting forward to her. And she was like, it feels too ad-like. Like, I really feel like it's too much of an ad. And they were like, no, no, this is what we do. Trust us. And she's like, no, no, it really feels like an ad, and I feel like what's going to happen is you're going to send it and then I'm going to get a call from their sales team. And he was just like, just trust me. We know what we're doing. The next day she got called by the sales team. And the next time I saw her, she was like, Chandra, it was exactly what you said.
That is incredible. And how sad that this agency, obviously this PR agency, didn't know how to do a good job. But that is amazing. I love that. Is there more mistakes? So what do you want to highlight some of the mistakes?
One of the biggest one, which is what in Claire's example, is that what was being put forward was too much of an ad. It was too much chest beating. It was too much just promoting, hey, this is our business and why don't you write about us? And any journo worth their salt is going to go, well, that's an ad. What's in it for me? What's in it for the listeners? And so when we look at what specifically we're talking about here is getting free media exposure that's being featured in content. So an article or a story being done or an interview with you on TV or radio or something like that. So, or industry magazine even, but it's content being featured versus a paid placement. And some people have talked about, you know, oh, well, I get an advertorial story written when I book X amount of ads in a magazine. That's different again. We're not talking about that because that's still seen as advertising. But it's and another approach that some people talk about is when they submit a series of articles to be published in a magazine or a publication. That can be a good way of getting exposure, but that's, again, a slightly different strategy. Today we're focusing on how you get content in the media outlets that are appropriate to reaching your audience. So in terms of the how, I've broken it into three chunks because you know that I like practical steps, Francisca.
I do, and I know that you're very prepared, so I don't really have to say very much on this show. I love it. Take it away, girl.
Well, the first one, well, I know you're going to jump in. The three parts are prepare, produce, and pitch. So when you are preparing, this is where things start to go wobbly pretty quickly when people make mistakes, is that you've got to start with the right kind of mindset when you're doing a publicity kind of media exposure strategy. Don't expect that you're necessarily going to get exposure the first time around. But you've got to be bringing the attitude of like, I'm having a go, I'm learning this process. You want to be coming from the headspace of how am I adding value to the end audience of whatever the media outlet are. You want to make sure that the media, when I say channels, but you know what I mean, it could be any kind of media, mm-hmm. that that they have the audience that you want to reach. Otherwise, there's very little point.
And I think that's a good one for me to jump in, as you already gave me permission. Let me talk about media, just to clarify for our listeners. So that could be TV, that could even be blog, that could be radio, it could be a print magazine, could be really anywhere where your audience is hanging out.
Yeah, it could be. And even for some businesses, it can be even more effective for them to be focusing quite specifically around a local magazine or local newspaper or even an industry magazine that only people that are interested in, boats, for example, would read, but that's their exact audience that they want to reach. So for them, it's more effective to go to a smaller media outlet than only going for the bigger, broader audience ones.
Love it.
Yeah, yeah. But regardless of which media outlet or channel, your job is to make it easy for a journalist to see that there's a story here that is going to be easy for them to write and it's going to add value to their end audience, because that's what they're in the business of. They have to provide great quality content to their audience, whoever they are. And the demands now on journos and media outlets are huge. Like in the old days, again, you'd publish the paper once a day and that was it. And the deadline went to print and that was all. But now you have online versions of the paper, and so there's updates hourly or even more frequently than that. So journos are constantly needing to create content. So if you can help them see different angles on relevant content, then that helps their job be a bit easier for them. So you want to go into it with that kind of attitude.
And that's such a good point, because often we get asked, and you would see a lot of our Clever Bunch members going, well, but do they really want to hear from us? You know, do they really want to hear our ideas? Yes, they do. Because as you say, they need to constantly come up with story angles. And so they do want to hear from you if you have a good story angle for them.
Exactly. And that's the approach that you want to be taking. I'm not trying to, flog a product or a sale or something to them. Mm-hmm. I've got a good story angle. The thing too with that, in this first prepare zone, is you want to actually be deciding which media outlets are important to you in terms of your audience that you want to reach. What media do they consume and use? And that might be different from the ones that you choose. And it's important for you to actually to be curious about that and to find out which publications, which blogs, which podcasts, which whatever are your audience consuming, because they're the ones that you want to get exposure in, not just being in any media for any media's sake. And start to build a bit of a contact list of, well, who writes for those publications and how can you get to know the sorts of stories that they tend to do. Some journos tend to have a certain bias towards always liking to do the local person done good kind of story. Others tend to focus on the gloom and doom of how the economy is making everybody go broke, so they have more of a negative tangent. But you can get to know a bit of a profile on the sorts of stories that they tend to write, and that will help inform you when you get to the next phase of looking at, well, what's the story angle that it might have a chance of getting exposure in this channel.
Exactly. And also if your story angle is more a business angle or a family angle or events, that's also usually there is a writer for each of these, depending on how big the magazine is or the paper. And then you just, obviously, that's a good point that you're making. Make sure you contact the right person, because if you contact a business writer with a family story, it might not be so appropriate.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that, oh, they'll just pass it on. But the reality, they're busy. You've just given them a job to do, man. This is not what they want. So, put a little bit of that front end during this prepare phase of which media outlets or channels do you want to get featured in, and who are the appropriate journos or editors for the sections if they are subsections. Mm-hmm. And it's relatively easy to find these details. Journos want to be found because of the speed that news happens now. On Twitter, you'll be able to connect with any journo worth their salt. We'll have a Twitter handle that you could just connect with to start to follow and see the sorts of stories they post about. And even within the publications themselves, you can just get email addresses and Twitter and even LinkedIn profiles and things like that. So start to build that list. And then you've got to be preparing, well, what's the story? Because if it can't just be about you promoting the fact that, you think you're awesome, and you might well be awesome, but who really cares? And that's the thing that you've got to get past, is imagine in your mind's eye, burnt out, overworked, underpaid, fairly cynical journalist. That's what you've got to kind of go, what's going to get their attention? What's going to make them kind of go, hey, this is going to make my day easier and it's going to deliver a great story to my listeners, my readers, my viewers. And so the story angle, and I just want to cover just a couple. There's obviously lots of different story angles, but a couple to just get people thinking maybe.
Yeah, and even the next episode is going more into depth with story angles. So definitely would love to hear a little start here.
Yeah. So it's things like your industry expertise is one that often can be an idea for different business owners, that journos aren't necessarily fully up to speed on all the ins and outs of the latest things that are happening in your industry or trends in your industry. And so you can use the fact that you're in business in that industry and you're at the front line of it to potentially share trends or insights that are relevant to their audience. So if you've got some kind of insights on that, then that could be something that works really well. The other thing that you can look at is the journos love stats, because again, it gives great structure to a story and a lot of credibility in terms of balancing out, you know, the information that's in the story. So if you've got in your industry some sort of data or survey results or recent research that's come out that somehow backs up your opinion on something that's happening or something that's going on in your industry, then that can work really well in terms of it being not just you that's saying, hey, this is important and it's impacting people in this way and here's how we're supporting. There's an external authority figure or facts that are going to support that. And sometimes you can get that because it's already out there that other people are doing the research, or you can do it yourself. So you could do your own survey with your audience or even running a campaign to get survey results. And the guide is, if you get more than 100 respondents, then those kinds of stats start to become seen as a little bit more credible. So if that's something that you could do, is get a bit of a survey of either current issues or pain points that people in your that are your clients are facing, then that can be great weight to your story as well.
I love that. And we've done that actually at Basic Bananas recently, where we did a big survey with our whole database, which is quite large, asking different questions like, what are some of your biggest challenges in business? And, you know, a few questions that we then summarized and sent to the media, obviously, you know, following the steps that you're sharing here and preparing a pitch. And it got picked up by a few magazines.
Unreal. Yeah. And that's where, you know, you can do that yourself potentially. Another possible story angle is there something that's like a significant or you really unique first that you are doing in your business that, again, could be, hitting that button of like, oh, this is unusual. This hasn't happened before. So an example was last year, there was a big thing about a business called Made by Cow, I think is what their name is, that they created new or used technology, the cold-pressed technology, to be able to treat milk so that they were able to sell milk that was less processed and therefore was, you know, some people say that it keeps more of the nutritional value than the current pasteurization process. Mm-hmm. And so there was a lot of media that was around the fact, because this was, it's illegal to sell raw milk in Australia because there have been deaths and there's concerns about how it impacts people if you're not living on a farm and having it all the time and having it straight away. So it's illegal to sell in Australia, but now this business has actually created technology or used technology as a way to make closer to milk in its more natural form. And so from a media point of view, it's like, this is being sold in Australia for the first time. And so that in itself is a big story angle, even though it's also launching a product and promoting and saying where you could buy it and how much it costs. But it's something that was brand new. So is there something unique that you're doing in your business that's never been done before, or the approach is different? That can be an interesting approach for some journos as well.
One of our members actually in Melbourne, a circus school, a Clever Bunch member, they used this sort of angle where it was how they are one of the first schools to use different ways to get kids to be more confident, and one of their ways was to teach circus skills, and it was got picked up by, I think, what's the paper in Melbourne, the big one, The Age.
Yep.
Yeah, got picked up by The Age, and it was a double spread story with beautiful pictures, of course, of kids hanging off things, circus things.
Yeah, unreal. And look, they're the kind of examples. And we had Justin in Perth who did the approach, a $20 toasted cheese and ham sandwich, and got, you know, big exposure in their daily newspaper as well. So there's things like that that sometimes can be that combination of a bit of fun, but also just doing something that's different. It's just making you talk aboutable. And I know that's something, I think that's a word you invented, isn't it?
I think so. Yeah. And it will be in the dictionary in no time. You watch.
It will. The other story angle, which I'm sure you're going to explore more in other episodes, is around personal stories. What's the human angle? And it's not just about, again, as we said, you talking up how great you are, but it, you know, what's the journey? Is it there's a story of where did someone come from and what were the challenges that they've had to overcome and now what are they doing and who cares or who's impacted by that? So if there is a genuine story, either of a business owner, a team member, or a client, then that can be a great way of getting some exposure as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the local angle, if it's relevant, then local publications are always hungry to get content, great content about what's happening in the local area that's relevant either to your business or what your business is doing for the area. That can be a really strong one as well. So that's kind of the prepare phase. You've got to actually get great story angle and have the right contacts lined up and to be ready to go to actually then go into step two, which is produce, which is where you actually write a press release. And this is where you're not writing the story. I see this happen a lot where sometimes business owners sit down and they sort of think they're writing the story as it would go in a publication. And look, journos should be doing additional research and writing their own story as well. Sometimes there's a bit of cut and pasting that happens, but your job in the media release is not to write the whole article or story, but to maybe do three or four short paragraphs that really quickly get the journo to be able to see, is there a potential story here, yes or no? And then they'll expand it beyond that. So you're not wanting to write War and Peace. It's a max of, you know, one page. It should be more than enough. And, you know, so that they can actually do their own research around it. So you also want to be making sure that you are including, if possible and it's relevant, a stat or a quote from some sort of relevant authority figure. So that might be you, if it's you as the business owner, or it could be, as we said, you know, if there's some sort of research that's come out recently that's relevant or appropriate, you can include that. Because that, again, just adds a bit more weight and context to the story, that it's not just you trying to get exposure, but actually there is there's something here is what you want the journo to kind of have that kind of vibe on it.
Mm-hmm.
And structure-wise, 3 to 4 paragraphs, max one page, making sure that you lead with the key concepts so that attention grabbing is going to happen early on, because they will just skim it. Like, honestly, they're really busy. They're just going to skim. So you've got to make it really easy for them to get the gist of it, and then they can expand out from there. You can include, if you've got high quality photos or images, you can include those. You don't have to. A lot of publications would like to do their own photographs, but it just depends. And sometimes if you've got them, then it can be great to send them through. And even for TV or video online, they often need what they call B-roll, which is background footage that they can just have sort of playing. So if you've got whatever vision, then it can, if it's good high quality, then you can send that through as well, for them to be aware that you've got some of that content, and that just again adds a bit more weight to it.
Absolutely. One thing that we also do is because we have so many high-res images, we have a secret web page basically that we just can add as a link into the pitch, and then people can just, you know, the media can just choose their own images from a catalogue basically, which works really well. Doesn't clog up their emails either.
Yeah, because that is one of the things I was going to say, is that you know, with actually writing the pitch, that you do want to be careful of how many attachments that you're sending, because that's not going to, you know, if we remember back that this is being received by a very busy, overworked, cynical journo, you're not going to be endearing yourself to them if you clog up their whole email system.
Exactly.
Yeah. And importantly, including contact details. Make it easy for them that if they want to find out more, who it is at the business that they should follow up with, and, you know, including a phone number and an email, because some journos prefer just pick up the phone. Who is this person? Are you going to answer the phone, yes or no? Or they just want to shoot a quick email through. So have both of those there and make it easy for them to get in touch with you. And then we're into to phase three, which is actually pitching it. This is where you actually have to, you've written it and you have to send it out. And this is where if you've been building that list of media contacts, then you have them ready to go and you know who it's appropriate for and you email it out to them. Depending on what the story angle is, a great opportunity always exists if you can put forward and say this is an exclusive to you, because again, that can sometimes get journo's attention of like, okay, is this something that we would want exclusivity on? And if I say no, it'll go somewhere else. And do I care about that, basically? Mm-hmm. So if it's appropriate, doing some sort of exclusive arrangement can work really well. But then you got to send it out. And then a lot of people, even if they've gotten to this point, which most business owners don't get to this point, then they don't do anything. And what the missed opportunity there is, you want to follow up. So you've pitched it halfway by sending it out. The other half is actually that you've got to follow up and contact the journo so that you can find out, did they receive it and did they, you know, what did they think about it? You can get some feedback from them about what they liked about it, what they didn't like about it. It's an opportunity for you to keep building the relationship with that media outlet. And again, this is one where don't be that frustrating person that calls at completely the wrong time. Like, you want to know what their sort of publishing cycle is. If they're a daily publication, then calling at the end of the day is likely to catch them when they are busy and maybe a little bit more stressed trying to, you know, get their deadlines done. So mid-morning is a good kind of neutral zone until you get to know specifically the publication or the outlet when their cycle is for publications and deadlines, so that you can avoid those once you know. But by following up, just be prepared that it's got to be a quick conversation. You're not settling in for, you know, having a chat with your bestie.
Don't go and make a cup of tea and, you know, get a cookie. No. It's a quick conversation. Yeah. I know. I'm so glad you're sharing the follow-up strategy, because it's so important. And I remember when I used to do our own PR, I had sometimes situations where I would send something, never hear a thing. And then I would call the publication and just, you know, check if they wanted more information. And it happened that sometimes the journalist would say, let me just quickly check your email. They would open their email, check, and then they go, oh, actually, yes. Could you quickly explore a little bit more about blah? And yeah, then suddenly just it went from nothing to, yeah, we actually are interested. Or sometimes the guy or the girl would say, look, it's a cool angle, but it just doesn't fit right now. We might get in touch another time.
Exactly. And this is the thing that, again, when you think about it through the eyes of the journo, some media outlets, they would be receiving 100, 200, maybe more media releases a day. So they may not see them all, and unless if your subject line isn't really catchy or they just happen to have not seen it, then exactly the example you've given, you following up, allows them to kind of go, oh, hang on, you know, what's your name again? And they'll be doing that search with you on the phone. So I think it is really important that you've got your brave boots on and you call and you're prepared to face the fact that they might say, oh, yeah, not interested. If that's the worst that happens, then, you know, come on, you can still learn out of that. Because even if they say that, you're able to connect with them long enough to say, cool, no problem. But you can ask them, is there anything in particular that you're working on at the moment that I could potentially contribute to or add value to? Are there any particular story angles or themes that you or the publication are prioritizing right now? Mm-hmm. Because they could say, oh, actually, you know, one of the big things that we're noticing our audience really want to know more about, it, and it's something to do with, bullying in school, or it's something to do whatever the topic might be. And you go, oh, okay, great. And if there's a way that you can see that you can add value around that, then great, you've got that as an insight. And if nothing else, then you've just connected with that journo. You could ask them, when's the worst time that I could ever call you in the future? And they'll tell you, and then you make a note in your little database and you say, never call after 3 on a Wednesday or whatever it is. So you can still learn from that follow-up, even if it doesn't result in getting exposure.
Exactly. And it is a long-term relationship, like anything. It's about relationship building very much with the media. So I love it. You are a Wonder Woman, as always. I'm so glad to have you in my life, and I will see you on Wednesday, actually, at the Clever Bunch in Sydney.
Yes. Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing you at BBHQ.
Yes.
And we will, I'm sure, have more chats then.
Yeah, thanks again. Thanks for sharing your knowledge. I can't wait to have you back.
No worries.
All right. Bye, gorgeous.
Bye. Rocket.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.